Hello. We've been talking this past several weeks about certain inheritances that God has made available to those in Christ Jesus. There's the reality of the cross, the resurrection, and the empty tomb. All of these things were great things to reflect upon during our Easter season. But the fact of the matter is that each one of us, myself included, is fickle. It's a great reason why God gave us the church. It's because when we try to do life alone, apart from God and apart from each other, we mess up. We need each other and we need God. And God in his infinite wisdom recognized that need. So he grants us certain inheritances when we are in Christ. Things like fullness and freedom. And oh, do we need freedom? We need freedom from sin. You see, the Bible tells us that God created us to be with him. But then sin entered the world. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we find ourselves separated from God and stuck in our sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are stuck in sin and we are destined for death, and we cannot free ourselves from the slavery of sin. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to free us, since we cannot do it on our own. And Christ paid the price for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus conquered sin through his death and resurrection, and he offers eternal life to those who accept his grace. But before we can have what God promises, we need to recognize that we are sinners. We have to recognize the reality that we are told in Romans 7, that we are depraved beings apart from God, and we have to ask for God's forgiveness from our sins. And until we accept that Christ alone is Lord of our life, we are still stuck in that debt that we are unable to repay ourselves. In Romans 10:9, it says, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Have you done that? Have you taken that leap of faith? I ask this because if you've not yet taken that leap of faith, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, then what I'm going to talk about this morning isn't going to make a whole lot of sense to you. And I desperately want it to make sense to you. Desperately. Because what God has for us today is abundance. It's fullness and it is freedom. And each person in Christ can experience that abundance. So take a leap of faith with me today, right now. If you've not given your life to Christ, I'd ask that in this time that we're going to pray together momentarily, that you would surrender your life to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Please bow your heads and pray with me this morning as we prepare to dive into God's word together. Lord Jesus, you have paid the price for our sins. Father, and I pray that if there's anyone watching this message today, Lord, that you would pierce them to the very core of their being, God, and you would allow them to recognize their depravity, their sin, and their need for a Savior, Father. I pray that they would give their lives to you, Lord, that they would recognize that there is freedom in you and you alone. And I pray, Father, that they would openly profess, Father, with their mouth and believe in their heart that you died for us, Lord, and that by rising again, Father God, you've conquered death in the grave. And through your grace, Lord, we can have eternity with you. Please be with us today, Father. Please transform us as we dive into your holy word together. Amen. If you've taken a leap of faith today, hallelujah, we'd love to hear about it. We'd love for you to post something in the comments below, connect with us on our Facebook page, email us, reach out to us. You can look at our website, get our phone number, myalliancechurch.com. We would love to begin praying for you and come alongside you in this faith journey that you've stepped out upon. But today, we are talking about abundance. Specifically, we will be addressing the abundance of the deeper life made available to each of us through the person of God himself, the Holy Spirit. We are going to be looking at three truths that each of us can experience by virtue of having God's Holy Spirit within us. So let's jump into God's word together this morning. In John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, this is Jesus speaking here, and he says this, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." I think sometimes we can get so focused upon a handful of verses and their meaning that we forget about the context in which they were written. In chapter 14, we find Jesus and his disciples in the upper room, and he's having a conversation with his disciples, and he's leaving them completely befuddled and anxious and confused, and they just don't really know what's going on, because just a few days earlier, Jesus entered Jerusalem in what's known as this triumphant entry, and he enters on the back of a donkey to the celebration of the masses, and then just a few days later, Jesus is doing crazy things. He's washing his disciples' feet. This king is being and taking upon the tasks of a servant. And then he's telling his disciples things that they don't understand. Things like, one of you is going to betray me. These are his best friends, his inner circle. And he's telling them that one of them is going to betray him. And then he cuts into Peter's ego, absolutely slashes it, and says that he's going to deny him three times. And the story goes on, and the shocking revelations continue. But by this point, he has the disciples' heads spinning. And then Jesus says to them all, he says, "I'm going to leave you." And Thomas, bless Thomas, is in refreshing honesty, he says to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answers with more truths, and they don't quite fully grasp these truths. And through it all, he's boldly proclaiming just how connected he is to his Father in heaven. And then Philip interjects and says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Have you ever gotten those questions where you're just like, seriously? I mean, have you not been paying attention? Like, is that possible that you're asking this question right now? You know, there's a story that I get a chuckle out of to this day. And there I was just graduated college, and Laura was finishing up her last semester of college. We were engaged to be married, and she would frequently come and visit my apartment that I shared with a roommate in the neighboring town of Waconia. And one night she was there, and she was getting ready to leave. It was snowing, it was cold, and Laura had been going through a bit of a rough spot. And by rough spot, I mean she'd been very forgetful of things. She'd been forgetting her purse everywhere. She'd been forgetting her phone everywhere. She'd been forgetting her sanity. I think that happens in your last semester of college. I'm not quite sure. But I decided to have a little bit of fun as she left. So I let her go, and I said goodnight to her, and I watched her take her phone, reminded her to take her purse, and I gave her about 5 minutes or so to start driving back to Crown, and then I called her on her phone, and I said, "Oh, honey, I can't believe it. You forgot your phone again. You're going to have to come back and get it, because I know you're going to need it." And she goes, "Yo, you got to be kidding me. Got to be kidding me. Okay, all right, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to come back and get it." And she hangs up, and I'm sitting there, and my eyebrows have about climbed to the ceiling at this point, and I'm going, "I can't believe that worked. Are you kidding me? That's amazing." I'm like, seriously? I can't help but feel like Jesus is feeling something similar here right now. Is this really happening? How can you be asking these questions? We're literally talking about this. But where I responded to Laura with a sense of mischievous glee, we can see Jesus having somewhat of a sense of exasperation as he responds to Philip. And this is what he says to Philip. And I'm paraphrasing here. And this is our first truth for today. He says this. He says, "There is power available, and God is alive." Not to paraphrase. It's our first truth this morning, but before we go any further, I want to finish my story so you don't think I'm a complete monster with how I treated my soon-to-be wife. So I did, in fact, call her back after she had turned around and began her trek back, and I'd called her a second. This is the second time now she's answering her phone, and I just said, "You know, listen, honey, I was kidding. You actually do have your phone." And well, needless to say, I should probably just stop right now before I could get in trouble with how we're going with this. But you know, you think the second call would have clued her in. But I had to explain everything anyway. Again, I'm digging a hole here. We don't want to dig holes. We definitely don't want to dig holes. But the important thing here, well, not the most important thing, because we're talking about God's word. So it's definitely more important than this. But I'm still alive. We did, in fact, get married. And I now have at my disposal an instant chuckle worth of a memory. So I really do enjoy that story. It was one of the highlights of my life, for what it's worth. Anyway, we're just going to get back into God's word here. There is power available, and God is alive. And in John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples, in the space of anxiety and in the space of uncertainty, there is hope, because the whole story, it hasn't been written yet. And when we look at John 14, verse 12, we read this: I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking again, will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. What are some things that Jesus did? Verse 12, he's saying that we're going to do the same things that he did. Well, Jesus healed, right? He cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. He hung out with outcasts and sinners. He multiplied food. And the list goes on and on and on. Jesus did amazing things. And he says that all those same things that we are reading about in the New Testament here, all the things that Jesus did, he says that those who believe in him, they're actually going to be able to do even more than that, because he's sending a helper, an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And within the Holy Spirit, there's power available for the believers. Those who believe in Christ are going to do even greater works than what Jesus himself did. This should blow our minds. It should absolutely blow our minds. I mean, there's power available to those who believe. But in order to experience these things, we need more faith in Jesus. We have to go deeper. There's a deeper life available, and we need to dive into it fully if we want to use our redemption rights. There's an abundance of power available within the deeper life of faith in God. You know, Christian and Missionary Alliance founder Albert Benjamin Simpson believed this. He believed that if Christians lived and worked together as God intended his church to do, he said that the evangelization of the entire world would be done in 1 decade. And then Jesus would return. 1 decade. You know, one of the things I admire most about A.B. Simpson is he didn't do half measures when it came to his faith. He lived and breathed the words, all for Jesus, all of the time, all for Jesus. Church, there is power available and God is alive. That's truth number one. Truth number two this morning: the Holy Spirit inspires deeper faith in God by filling us. So here Jesus is with his followers. He's expressing these truths to them in the upper room, knowing that he has mere hours left before he's going to be taken into custody. And he's dropping truth and hope on his disciples like grenades, the shrapnel of which are piercing them to the very core of who they are. And look at the words here again of Jesus in John 14, verses 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you know him, Jesus says, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The advocate is the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. And this is important. Folks, this is important. And it's important because I want to give some peace to those of you who, after truth one, might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable this morning. You see, the type of power I'm referring to isn't the type that you see televangelists, preachers, and teachers doing. It's not this name it and claim it type of power. It's not this prosperity gospel type of power at all. Jesus was incredibly clear when he said that the world is going to hate you, but he says, hold on a second, the world hated me first, and if you believe in me, they're going to hate you, but guess what? I have overcome the world. That's what we can expect. We can expect to not be accepted by the world. Jesus says that no servant will ever be greater than his master. These false teachers that tell us that we are destined for health and wealth and acceptance by the world, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Do not be deceived by them. But at the same time, that does not mean that there is not power available to those in Christ. There are redemptive rights. There are spiritual gifts that God wants to bless his church with. We aren't going to dive into what those spiritual gifts are today specifically. That's another message for a different day. But there is power available to believers, absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. But here's the thing. It is the power of God expressed by God himself. And that's important. It is the power of God, and it is expressed by God. It is never our power to wield or manipulate according to our own desires. In fact, the Bible tells us who exactly expresses that power: the Holy Spirit, and he lives within us. That is who our power comes from, the person of God himself, the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that inspires deeper faith in God by filling us. We cannot fill ourselves. It doesn't work like that. But we can deepen our faith. We can deepen our faith through God in us. You and I were nothing apart from Jesus. But Christ in me, the hope of glory, That changes everything. That changes everything. God wants to bless his church. But in order to receive the gifts he offers, we have to surrender everything. And we have to allow Christ in me to change me, because the old nature is gone. And God says that we are righteous in his sight. You might not feel righteous right now. And I think many of us feel this way because many of us prefer a God who is with us rather than a God who is in us. We prefer to live with a spiritual handicap. We don't want to surrender everything to God. We choose to cling to what we know, and in doing so, we lose sight of the bigger picture of the blessings that God has for us and offers to us. We grasp our small package of M&Ms. Pastor Ryan talked about this the last several weeks. There's a small package of M&Ms that we cling to, and we carry it with us when God says that he wants to plant the whole M&M factory within us. And we continue to say no when God continuously invites us into deeper relationship with him. And then we question why we don't see God move. People of God, the more we say yes to God, the more we see God move. So say yes to God in the light. Say yes to God in the dark. Say yes to God in the gray. God can speak to us in the gray and in the dark many times in ways that we are unable to hear in the light. Maybe you're thinking right now, you know what, Pastor Chris? How do we do that? How do we say yes to God? My answer? Confess your sins and cry out to him and ask him to fill you. Ask God to fill you. Give him access to every part of your being. The scriptures are full of expressions of faith where repentance and crying out, they go hand in hand. People tear their clothing. They wear sackcloth and ashes. They cry out to God. They kneel or they lie prostrate. When they pray, they dance. They weep. They themselves live in discomfort, and the world is uncomfortable around them because the world does not accept them. The Bible tells us we should look different from the world. So maybe I need to become uncomfortable in certain areas of my life so that I can grow. Maybe I need to spend less time trying to blend into the world, to gain acceptance from the world so that they feel comfortable around me. And instead, maybe I need to help the world to feel uncomfortable in their sin because they are engaging with the peace and power that I have as a spirit-filled man of God. We want people to be challenged to grow. We want people to change. It's what the gospel is all about. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of change. It's the good news of a new nature, a new reality that we can live in. And let's face it, we don't grow when we're comfortable. The truth is that most often, growth is found on the far side of discomfort. We have God's Spirit dwelling within us, and there is power available to us through the God who lives in us. And how can we not express the magnificence of the God that lives within us? God is so good. And he uses us. These unworthy vessels who he says are righteous in his sight. He uses us. He claims us. He says, you are mine. I have called you by name. And he uses us to fulfill his purposes. It's amazing. And it's humbling. I want you to take the spiritual gift of healing as an example. God heals today. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, he heals. I've experienced it personally. I've seen it happen. He's the same God today as he was when Jesus Christ walked this earth. And Christ himself, he tells us that through God's Holy Spirit, that we can do even greater works than Jesus himself did. There's greater power available to us. But sometimes God doesn't heal. Sometimes he doesn't heal or answer our prayers in the ways that we expect him to, or in the time frame that we would like to see them answered. Maybe sometimes he doesn't heal this side of death at all. And we find ourselves lost and confused and questioning and many times unsatisfied with the answers. Friends, it's in these times, especially these times, that we must continue to pursue and we must continue to pray. It's in these moments of the dark that our faith has developed even more, as long as we remain humble in him. I want to be clear here on something. If you want to experience the reality of your redemptive rights, these gifts that God gives us, the expression of the power of the Holy Spirit, it must be within the context of a Spirit-filled life. That means that there cannot be secrets in sin that are being lived out. Godliness is not an option. If you'd like to flesh out the reality of freedom from sin, I encourage you to take a look at Pastor Ryan's message from last week. It's entitled Freedom. You can find it on our Alliance Church of Little Falls YouTube page. It's April 26th message, and it was a phenomenal springboard into what we are talking about today. One final note here on the context of spiritual gifts, because I find they're often misunderstood, and we're not getting into the reality of the specifics of spiritual gifts today, but this is a truth and a principle that I think we can all benefit from recognizing in our lives. Alliance missionary Ben Elliott, he says this about spiritual gifts. He says, spiritual gifts are not items or objects to collect. They are the expression of the Spirit himself working through the Christian. We never have a certain gift. What we have is the life of God, the Holy Spirit, in us and working through us in miraculous ways to help build up the body through things like administration or showing mercy or healing. The goal, indeed the mark of the deeper Christian life, is a growing closeness with the Spirit, not the supernatural power that comes when He is present. The gift is the giver. The gift is the giver. We can't do anything on our own strength. We must surrender every part of who we are to God, and with a resounding shout, our very existence shall scream the words, all for Jesus. The Holy Spirit inspires deeper faith in God by filling us. That's truth number two. Truth number three is that the Holy Spirit leads us to Jesus and to people. If we seek our redemption rights for any other reason than a growing closeness with the Spirit, I would absolutely expect that what we find will be both shallow and lacking in power. It's no secret that oftentimes this is exactly what the world finds when it goes looking for God. God is put on the very fringe of our lives. He's given the same weight as everything else until there's a crisis. And then we expect Him to perform for us at the snap of our fingers in the same way a get-out-of-jail-free card works in the game of Monopoly. We expect Him to sweep in and make everything right again according to how we expect it to be. And we want a big demonstration or a show of the miraculous in the process. That's how the world, and I'm saddened to say some in the church, view God. They view Him as a safety net. And we can find ourselves slipping into that chain of thought every now and then. God is a safety net, but there's so much more. And we miss out on the richness that a Spirit-filled life offers if that is our view of God. Here's something A.W. Tozer said once that resonated with me. He said, I do not want the world to define God for me. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal God to me. Here's the thing. The big demonstrations of faith, they're not sustainable unless there is a rhythm and flow to the rest of our life. The Holy Spirit demonstrates the power of God for the edification, for the building up of the body of Christ, the church. God's gifts, they're not meant for individuals. They're for the body. The Holy Spirit is meant for you and other people. And the Holy Spirit is meant to lead us to Jesus. And in turn, He then leads us to other people so that we can in turn lead them to Jesus. And they can in turn lead other people to Jesus. There's a sense of freedom in that. 2 Corinthians 3:17 reads, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If we are in Christ, then we have the Holy Spirit. We have freedom. We have the abundance of the deeper life available to us because it is the Holy Spirit who brings the personal and life-giving presence of God into our lives. He is our advocate, and He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. There's freedom in the Spirit. I don't think we talk about it enough. We talk about Christ. We talk about God, but often the Spirit's left out of our conversations. The person of the Holy Spirit is an equal part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet one substance. Distinguishable from one another, yet perfect in unity, in love, and in all aspects of equality. Here are just a few things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He was there in the beginning. He's equal to God. He's promised by Christ. He acts as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. He sets His seal upon us and softens our hearts. He convicts the world of sin. He inspired the writers of Scripture and helps us to understand the Scriptures in turn. He teaches us as we abide in Christ. He fills and accompanies us as we seek to fulfill the Great Commission. He enables us to change and live differently, and He makes us into a new creation. these truths, they're just the very tip of the iceberg of who the Holy Spirit is. And this is who you have living within you. What is supernatural to us is natural in the kingdom of God. God gives us his Holy Spirit to point us to Jesus Christ. And by the extension of our inward transformation, this process called sanctification, we then point others to Jesus Christ. It is God who makes us new. He gives us a new heart. He enables us to live differently. In Ezekiel 36, we read, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." God gives us a new heart. He gives us a new spirit. But sometimes those stony, stubborn areas, they persist. We have some areas that we don't want to give over to God. We have areas that we'll allow him into, certainly, yes, we absolutely do. But there's other areas we go, no, God, I don't think you need to see that. Church, there's nothing that is a surprise to our Heavenly Father. And our sin, Ephesians 4:30 tells us that the person of the Holy Spirit is actually wounded when we sin. God grieves when we sin. Friends, God wants to take our heart of stone and break it through sanctification so that we can be radically changed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to operate on low power mode in this life. God can fill us fully if we surrender and ask God to fill us. So whether you've walked with God your whole life or just this past half hour, let's fully embrace God. Let's fully embrace his Spirit. Let's ask him to fill us, and let's choose together as one body to live differently than the world. Let's live differently than the world because we are indwelt with the power and the authority of the King of Kings. Please pray with me as we close. Oh, Jesus, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. And you offer us so much mercy, so much grace. Father, so much freedom. This abundance that we have, Father, within a relationship with you, Lord, it can't be matched by anything in this world. There is nothing that we can pursue in this world that can give us the satisfaction that you yourself give us by indwelling us with your Spirit, by changing the very nature of who we are, by freeing us from the shackles of enslavement to sin. Father, I love you, and I pray this morning, Lord, that those watching this video, God, that their hearts would cry out to you right now, Lord, and surrender and enjoy, Father, over the reality, over the truth, over the freedom that we don't have to live in the patterns of sin that we've been living in any longer. Father, that we can show the world that you are real and you are holy and you love people and want to draw them close. You, Father, are the good shepherd. And I pray, Lord, that as we close this morning, God, that if there are any areas within our hearts, within our minds, Father, any skeletons in our closets, Lord, that we've not yet opened to you, Father, I pray that we would humbly lie down prostrate before your throne, Lord, and offer up everything of who we are to you. Because you've already done that for us, God. You have given us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Please fill us, Father. Let your church stride boldly from this place and to live out our redemptive rights. We lift today up to you, Father. Amen.